Well, folks, we are beginning a new series in the book of Hebrews. Now, this is one of those series. There are going to be some certain passages that I'm going to have to warn you ahead of time. You're just going to have to grab on, you know, to the seat next to you, maybe the hand next to you, and hold on here, because there is some challenging stuff in this book. Some things that might raise some questions for us. Boy, what does that mean? Or how do we interpret that? But I want you to know there is great encouragement that is found along with that challenge as well. Here are just some of the questions that we might ask as we go through this book of Hebrews here. For example, this, and this is a key one here. How can I hold on to my faith? How can I hold on to my faith in the midst of great trial and difficulty? You know what's funny is I say that here. I know that we have all experienced trial and difficulty here, haven't we? And maybe there was a temptation to shrink back from that faith, to not go on, not to continue trusting and believing. And yet I have to say, don't I feel a little bit ashamed, though, sometimes with the trials and difficulties we have? And then we have Pastor Vijay here from India, who those believers know what real persecution, what real trial is, what real difficulty is, and they remain faithful. Is my Christian faith superior to other religions? Aren't we just being... Are we being a little arrogant, thinking that we have the truth and no one else does? We're right. Well, you know what the problem with the exclusive claim of Christianity is? How Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life? When people say, oh, how can you say that? The problem is we're not the ones who said it, are we? Jesus is the one who said it. Is he superior to all? There's going to be a critical question. We're going to look at it several times through this. Can I lose my salvation in Christ? If I am a genuine believer in Jesus, is it possible for me to lose that gift of eternal life and be recondemned? Now, some believers would say yes. Others would say no. And there are some passages in this book that wherever you stand on that issue, we've got to be honest in dealing with those. So we'll look at that issue. Some of you are going, you think, well, I do believe that believers are secure, and genuine believers are secure in Jesus Christ, that they will persevere to the end. But the reality is that warning is there, ever present for us to continue on, to abide in Christ, to remain in him. And what is faith? What is the nature of faith? What does it look like in action? Many practical exhortations or commandments to us in this book. Now, we could spend a lot of time on this. We're not going to this morning here. Who wrote the book? We don't know. For a long time, it was thought perhaps it was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Others have said it was Paul's companion Barnabas. Others have said Apollos. Some have said Luke, or maybe Priscilla. Who knows? But I think there was one ancient commentator who said it best, who said, God alone knows who wrote the book. But we know it's the Holy Spirit who inspired it. Probably in the late 60s AD, before the fall of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And it's written to Jewish Christians, the Hebrews. The message to the Hebrews, the Jewish believers. And why was it written? Well, it was written to encourage these persecuted Jewish Christians to stand firm in their faith and to warn them against falling back into Judaism. How can we relieve this suffering of this persecution that we're undergoing? Well, let's just be Jewish again and forget this whole Christ and Jesus stuff, this whole Christianity thing. Then we won't be persecuted. So the message is to warn them against doing that and encouraging them to stand firm in their faith. And I think there are two crystal clear themes that stand out in this book is the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ and the necessity of persevering in faith. Now, some of you said, persevere, you've said that. What do you mean by that? What does it mean to persevere in faith? Well, it is this, to persevere. Perseverance means simply to stand firm in faith, to remain vitally connected to Christ. Not to raise our hands and give up and say, that's it, I don't believe this, I'm not going to do that anymore, but to stand firm in faith in him, to persevere, to continue on in faith, vitally connected. So that's why we come then to this new series here, Hebrews, Persevering Faith in the Superior Christ. Persevering Faith in the Superior Christ. Today I want to consider just briefly here, although it's something that we can contemplate for a very, very long time, this incredible message here that God has supremely spoken to us or revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that he is the superior revelation above all else. And if God has spoken chiefly and supremely in Christ, the Son, the question is, are we listening? If that's how he has spoken to us, have we heard? And do we continue to listen? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 here. This is out of the New Living Translation. Sometimes I like to use the New Living Translation because it can take these concepts and just put it in very down-to-earth language here for us, and I like how it does that with this. But the writer says this. He says, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he has said to Jesus. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. And God also said, I will be his Father, and he will be my Son. And when he had brought his firstborn son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. And regarding the angels, he said, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. And therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. And he also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. And therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. The superior revelation in the Son. These first four verses here are a beautifully constructed paragraph, aren't they? And it contains and gives us an introduction to the surpassing greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had revealed himself in the Old Testament through the prophets many times and in various ways. How had he revealed himself before Jesus came into the world? Well, through the prophets, through dreams and visions, through the word of God spoken to these prophets, through events, through these things that the people had seen. But never had they seen something like this. God himself coming into the world in human flesh, made like one of us, speaking to us. He left heaven and came here and was among us. So God has spoken to us in many times and in various ways, but he has spoken to us supremely. The superior revelation. Revelation is what? It's simply revealing. God revealing himself, expressing himself, showing who he is and showing the truth of who he is and who we are and of our need for eternal salvation. So the Son then is the latest and the greatest and the final instrument of divine revelation, the supreme vehicle in which God has revealed himself and spoken to human beings, superior to the prophets of old and even to angels. What was all this talk of angels? Well, we'll see that in a little bit just more here. But because there were many Jews who reverenced these angels, practically worshipped them, saw them as because the angels were associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. So they reverenced them greatly. There was even almost a cult of angel doctrine. And he's saying, why do you want to reverence someone who is... We have someone who is far superior to the angels. And that's the Son of God, God himself. So, if you want to know who God is, what he has said, what's your best source? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See the superior nature of the Son then too. This author tells us of the greatness of the Son of God. It says that he is the heir of all things, that he is going to inherit all things. What is an inheritance? When someone passes on, then you receive this. It's the goods, the property. Right? Well, Jesus is going to receive the goods, the property. Who's the property that's so valuable to God? You. All of his creation, the Father has made the Son the heir, and he's going to give you to him. So he is the heir of all things. And he is the maker of all things. You're thinking, who created the universe? Who created the world? God, true. Well, Jesus Christ is God, isn't he? Jesus Christ made everything. He is the heir of all things. He is the maker of all things. The creation is sustained by his powerful word. What keeps this creation going, holding together, continuing on in its purpose? The sustaining power of Jesus Christ. He has provided purification for sins. Purification for sins. Not just a forgiveness of our sins, but an absolute purification, our sins completely removed from us. And you think, boy, I don't feel like I've had my sin removed. Well, in God's eye, in God's mind, you have, in Jesus Christ, haven't you? And one day you will experience the reality of that total removal of sin. You've been purified in Jesus Christ. And he has taken the seat at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The right hand is the supreme place of honor of God the Father. So his greatness is clearly far superior to anything any angel can claim, isn't it? And since this is God's supremely great Son, we must hear him. God has spoken through him. When someone speaks, we must listen. Interesting moment was at the Transfiguration. Remember when Peter, James, and John, Jesus told them, come with me, and they went up, and Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw his, they got a little preview, a little taste of his glory. As he was glorified before them there, Jesus spoke with two others. Who did he speak with? Moses and Elijah, right? The law and the prophets, they represented the law and the prophets and Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. They're together, glorified, transfigured before them. And a voice from heaven said, what? This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Why? He's the heir of all things. He's the maker of all things. He's the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of God's majestic being. If you want to know the nature of God, look at Jesus Christ. He's the exact representation of it. The sustainer of all things, the savior of all, who purifies us from sin, the one who sits at the right hand of God the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I would say that's a pretty good person to listen to, don't you think? Those are pretty good qualifications for someone we ought to listen to. I would say that he has the authority to speak, and he has the right to be heard and to be obeyed because of his majesty. I'll tell you a story very briefly here. I was out with some friends one day. We were out at a restaurant there, and we were just talking and have a conversation. And next table over to us there, there was some folks there, and there was a young lady there, and I guess we'll just say that the alcohol had been flowing freely at her table, okay? And she had become very expressive. And we were talking about things, and she decided to kind of become a part of the conversation. It's like, okay, so we're listening, we're talking to her and that. And there was this one friend of mine, his name is Ken. And Ken is someone who just, he's one of those strong, silent types, you know, the type, really doesn't say much at all. But every now and then he'll say something. And so every now and then Ken would pipe up with some contribution to this conversation here. And this woman, for some reason, just seemed to be so impressed with Ken's insight and wisdom. And she kept going on about, you must listen to him. Listen to him. He is awesome. That's right. That's right. Of course, my friends and I were all laughing because we think, of course, we're the ones who are truly awesome and wise. And Ken is kind of a joke sometimes with his insights on things, you know. So we were all getting a kick about this because it's like, so you're saying that Ken is deep and we're shallow, you know. So it was an interesting moment there. But she kept saying, you must listen to him. He is awesome. Well, is Ken awesome? Well, you can ask his wife and his kids about that, I suppose. But I know someone who is indeed awesome. We must listen to him because he is awesome. Truly awesome, not the way that word is casually thrown around today. He is superior to the angels then too. Again, why all this talk of angels and Jesus being superior to them? Well, because there were many Jews, they reverenced the angels. So this writer is trying to say to them, don't fall back to your old faith and the angels. We have the superior revelation in the Son of God. So the author quotes then from a number of different Old Testament passages to show that Messiah Jesus is the Son of God, that he is worshipped by the angels, that he is God yet distinct from the Father God. And we're also told here then that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve the people of God who will inherit salvation. That's you and me, all who will inherit salvation. It's interesting, it's in the future tense there too. Matter of fact, we have salvation right now by faith, but we have not yet received the fullness of that salvation, have we? We are yet to be, for that salvation to be completed. He's saying, and the angels are ministering spirits to those who will inherit that final salvation. So don't worship them. Worship the Son and listen to him. See then that God's truth is found supremely in Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know the truth about life, the universe, and everything, look at Jesus Christ. That God's glory and his majesty are revealed supremely in Jesus Christ. You want to know what God is like? You look at the Son, Jesus Christ. and his sacrifice. All through the book of Hebrews, we're going to see this word again, again and again. We're going to see the words better or superior. That how much better, how much greater is Christ? He is the better and the greater high priest. His covenant is the better and the greater covenant. His forgiveness is the better and the greater forgiveness. Why? Because the blood of animals merely covers over sin. It doesn't remove it or purify us. But the blood of Jesus Christ does. Purifies us from our sins. So I'm going to ask two simple questions in closing here. This first one is this. Have you heard God speak through his Son? Have you heard God speak? Now that person who was described in those opening verses there deserves to be heard, doesn't he? God has spoken, and what has he said? He said what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe that trust in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, putting our confidence and our faith in him, receiving his forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. Have you heard God speak? I think many of us here have heard that. We have heard God speak. We have received that gracious gift of salvation by faith. But of course, it doesn't end there. The question is, are you continuing to listen to the Son? Does this person we read about here, does he deserve our attention? Our faithful and obedient attention when he speaks? I think he does, because God spoke, revealed himself and spoke supremely in Jesus Christ. And of course, that message is a message of hope. But God continues to speak to us, though, doesn't he? Saying things like what? Remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So remain in me. Persevere. Remain vitally connected to me. He also said something like, I'm giving you a new commandment. As I have loved you, so you too are to love one another. He told us too, like, to build our house, to build our lives on the solid rock of him and his truth and his word, not on the shifting sands of human desire and opinion. Of course, you know when you open his word and read that there's much, much more than that. But that's just a small sampling of how he continues to speak to us. He speaks to those who are his own. He says what? Persevere, remain in me, be faithful, obey me, live for me. Some of you are going to remember this very, very well. Others of you are going to say, what's he talking about? Remember a number of years ago, I was a kid, little kid when these were on. Remember there used to be those commercials for E.F. Hutton? Remember that, the investment firm? And you see the commercial, and there'd be people all in the room, and they'd be talking about different investment opportunities or something like that, and someone would say, well, my broker's E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says, and then the whole room goes quiet, and everyone's doing this, you know, trying to listen, what has E.F. Hutton said about it? Well, Jesus is superior, infinitely superior to E.F. Hutton, isn't he? Or anyone else. And if we'll bend our ears to hear the word of some sage Wall Street investment banker, which, by the way, they're not so sagacious these days, are they? How much more do we need to bend our ear to hear the Son of God when he speaks? Remain in me. Believe in me. Remain in me. As I have loved one another. Build your life on me, he says. Are we listening? Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for this supreme revelation that we have in the Son of God. He is the maker of all things, the sustainer of all things. He has provided purification for our sins, for all who have believed in him. He is worthy of our faith and our obedience. When we say, listen, Lord, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about faith and obedience. When we say, listen, are we listening to him? So God, we give our hearts to you today. It's in praise, first off, for our hope in Jesus Christ. And God, we ask then for your help. Your word tells us that Jesus Christ is our great high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. He's able to help us in our weakness and our temptations, in whatever it is that's troubling us. Because he was made like one of us, he understands. So we thank you, Lord, for this superior high priest. We ask for his sustaining grace. We ask, Lord, for your help that we might be faithful to you to the end. Give us listening hearts and ears, Lord, quick to hear, quick to obey. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.